It's a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour. So, lots happening. By the way, was I seeing things? Was that an AI-generated photo with the Lord Mayor of Cork standing with a load of naked people outside the City Hall? Was that just an AI-generated photograph, or was that actually real? Did somebody stand there with a bunch of people in the nip, painted in different kind of rainbow colours or whatever the hell they were painted in? What the hell is going on in this world? Are people mad? He's kind of standing in his suit in the middle of it all. It just seems quite bizarre that somebody would even volunteer to have. Imagine having the credibility of being a politician or, I don't know, an MEP or a Lord Mayor or whatever it is, you know, and standing in the middle of a group of naked people. And what the hell is going on in this world? Also, I see Ruud Coppinger is talking about, you know, the what's called the puberty blockers. And of course, Northern Ireland have now banned the use of puberty blockers on children. So have Great Britain prescribed puberty blockers to children. So have many other countries. Ireland seems to be the last stop. So we need to do it. But Ruud Coppinger is calling for the government not to do it. That it, she believes that children can make an informed decision. Oh yeah. Since when do children ever make an informed decision about anything? They are children. That is the whole key here, isn't it? They're children. It is our responsibility as adults and as guardians for those children to make decisions on their behalf in the best interest of those children. Anyway, I've no idea why Ruud Coppinger is calling for that anyway. Puberty blockers, as far as I'm concerned, should be banned completely. Absolutely banned completely. The drugs, by the way, that are used for puberty blockers are the same drugs they use for chemical castration, as far as I know. And there is, she says there's no evidence they're dangerous. There's no evidence that they're not dangerous and not irreversible. And they have been shown on numerous occasions, numerous tests, but to be possibly irreversible. And also to cause, according to the NHS in the UK, there is evidence that they can cause bone density issues. They can also, obviously, they lead on to taking other drugs or other cross-hormone drugs as well. And, you know, why we would prescribe drugs to children, life-changing drugs to children, based on an ideology that they can change their gender, which many people don't believe is even true, including me, is just bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. In the same breath, by the way, Stephen Donnelly, as we talked about the other day, is calling for a ban on mobile phones for children. And this is classed now, I believe, according to the HSE, as a health emergency. Children under the age of 12 on social media. Yet, you know, puberty blockers is not a health emergency. Children thinking they can change their gender is not a health emergency. Children confused by their gender was never a health emergency. Is that because the NGOs tells that it's not a health emergency? That it's kind of normal, isn't it, for a little boy to want to be a girl or a girl to want to be a boy? Anyway, I decided today that we would stick to this particular story because on the front page of some of the papers today, this is Michael O'Leary. Michael O'Leary, by the way, the boss of Ryanair, has called for the alcohol limit at airports and bars to be reduced to 2 units per person. And he claims that drunken and drugged up passengers are disrupting flights. Michael O'Leary is running the, of course, the largest airline in Europe, as you well know, Ryanair. And he said there has been a notable rise in bad behaviour because of inebriated travellers. He wants 2 drink limit on each boarding pass. I said this years ago, by the way. Were people not listening to me 6 or 7 years ago when I said this? Anyway, I said put on a boarding pass, explaining it's not that easy for airlines to identify people who are inebriated. As long as they can stand up, they'll probably get through. He stated flights in the UK are particularly troublesome, especially to party destinations such as Ibiza and regional airports, including Liverpool, Manchester, Glasgow and Edinburgh. Mr. O'Leary added, we used to only allow them to take a bottle of water on board, not realising they were actually full of vodka. Now we don't even allow those. In the old days, people who drank too much would eventually fall over or fall asleep. But nowadays, those passengers are also on tablets and powder as well. Obviously talking about drugs. So he wants to reduce it to 2. But here's the thing. I'm not going to ask you that today. I'm going to ask you to just ban it altogether. Now, as you know, I don't drink, so I couldn't care less. But this idea that, you know, the holiday begins in the airport. And I know people who get hammered drunk in the airport. They live at least 5 or 6 drinks in the airport. Enough just about to stand up and shuffle their way through in the queue. Because you know yourself, you know, as you're handing in your passport to check in, they're not going to, you know, breath test you. And they generally don't notice if you're drunk because you're kind of shuffling with a whole crowd who are holding you up anyway. And it's only when you get on the plane and you have that extra 2 drinks that you then go completely over the top and you cause chaos. How many flights in the last year have been turned around, had to land because of inebriated passengers who cause problems? Lots of flights. And people have been charged for it too, by the way. You will go to jail if you do that. I mean, if a plane has to land, because you're putting people's lives in danger. It's different in a pub, and don't come on and compare it to a pub and say, well, no, because people got drunk in a pub, you wouldn't ban drink from a pub, would you? No, of course you wouldn't, because you can just kick somebody out the door in a pub if they cause problems or if they get drunk. When you're 30,000 feet in the air, you can't kick somebody out. That's the end of it. So let me know what you think, by the way. The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Forget about the two drinks that he's talking about on the card or the boarding card. Let's just ban it all together. I'm surprised at Michael Leary, by the way. I have a funny feeling he's only talking about the airport. He's not talking about the planes because, of course, Ryanair is synonymous with selling alcohol or too much alcohol on planes because that's how they make money as well, isn't it? With their onboard activities and what they sell. So I have a funny feeling O'Leary is only talking about what you get in the airport and not what you get on his planes. But we'll, I'm sure we'll find out about that during the week. Let me know what you think. 085-122-55. Steve, hi, how are
Thanks
you doing?
Very much.
Oh, sorry, Steve.
I thought, what the hell was that?
That was Tara just saying thanks very much. Anyway, Steve.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Look, I'll tell you what I think about this. This is all the immigrants' fault.
Oh,
we have to bring immigrants in. We have to bring it in somehow. Yeah. Everybody wants to give out these days. No, look, ban it. Ban it absolutely completely off of planes, ban it from airports. I mean, what's it going to get to at the point when they decide to legalise drugs in Ireland? Is it going to be, yeah, you can rack up a line of cocaine on the back of the jacks in the plane and you can do a few lines there? No.
Trying to remember, are you a drinker? Do you drink?
No, I did. I went through like a year of it and it was great crack. I'm not going to say it wasn't fun. But, you know, I stopped it. Didn't want to do it anymore after that. So, no, I don't drink. And I would never support anybody getting into a metal tube that's going 500 miles an hour in the sky to drink. And there's a door there that they could go over and start playing at and open. Like, I've been on planes. I'm a terrible passenger. I'm a really, really bad passenger.
It's always a worry, isn't it, that some kid or some drunk is going to, you know, mess around with the door.
And that's it. You look at them, some wanker passing by the door or leans against the door.
Oh.
And you're like, please don't, just get away from the door. And this is going to sound absolutely terrible. And this is not my fault. I blame the media on this completely. But if I see some sort of foreign national on the plane who moves towards that door, I panic.
Oh. Right. You did bring immigrants into it, didn't you?
I did bring immigrants into it.
Okay, we'll come back to the immigrants later on and the people who are wandering around with haversacks on their backs. But getting back to drink, the amount of people that have been taken off flights recently because they've been drunk and causing problems, because it usually leads to aggression in some form or another. But people will say to you, well, hold on, that's just a small amount of people. You can't disrupt everybody's holiday because after all, they're relaxing, they've worked all year. You know, they're just having one or two social drinks. It's not a big deal, most people.
Niall, don't allow you to drink on a bus. Allow drink on the bus, and that's on the bleeding ground. What sense does it make to allow somebody to drink, what was it, 20,000 feet in the air? It's a ridiculous idea. I don't know why.
I just have this vision in my head now of, you know, a hostess walking around Dublin bus in the middle of Dublin going, anybody like some drinks? Would you like some drinks?
Yeah, crisps, peanuts. Look, it always has been a stupid idea. And there's a lot of nervous passengers out there. If you have some absolute gobshite starting fights on a plane, you know, with the wall or the fire extinguisher because he hasn't a clue where he is or what he's doing, I don't care that you've worked all year. Don't ruin my holiday. How would that person like if I went to their apartment where they were on holiday, got off my head and decided to just be a complete moron and ruin theirs? They wouldn't be happy with it whatsoever. Drunk people are idiots. I mean, you've met many of them, Niall. You used to do the DJing years ago. Mm. They're the worst type of people to deal with. You know, oh, will you play this song for me? Piss off and leave me alone. I'm sure you've had it many times. You know, there's alcohol has destroyed many a good people. So I don't understand. You can't do it. You can't have an open alcohol container in a car. You can't drink on a bus. Why in the name of Christ would you be allowed to do it in a thing that's travelling at 500 miles an hour?
Okay, well, hang on. Say that for a second. Angela, I can't disagree with him. I do find, but I'm biased because I don't drink, I find drunk people irritating, really irritating. And even more so on an aeroplane.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Here we go.
What?
I can't believe I'm going to say it.
What?
Well,
myself and Steve were in agreement.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's like, do we should have streamers here that go off in the studio every time you used to agree or something.
Woo!
Yeah. I feel dorky.
When I heard Steve come on, I went, oh, this is going to be great fun. And now I'm going, it's not going to be fun at all because I agree with him. Jesus.
That surprises me, Angela, because you're kind of pro-drink. You know what I mean?
No, I drink, but even, like, as I told you before, I've flown business class, first class with,
yeah, stop boasting.
With Aer Lingus over and back. I didn't even use the free drink. I was drinking.
You didn't even drink the glass of champagne they gave you?
No.
I did.
I don't like champagne anyway.
I drank the champagne. I drank the champagne.
You drank the champagne.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't because I don't know what it is. I'm not that kind of a drinker. I like if I go out to go to a pub. I'm not like, I couldn't believe it that for my birthday this year, we had it at home and I had a good few drinks. I'm not that kind of a person who'd sit somewhere in an enclosed space rather than a pub where you can go out here and go out there. I'm not a one who can sit like that and have a drink. I don't. It's just not me.
Mm.
And I dread it. I absolutely dread it. Like we went to Spain now in May and it was fine going over and the flight coming back was 6:30. And I can tell you at least 40 people on that flight had come straight from the pub.
Yeah. Part of the problem is, and I know people who do this, they purposely go to the airport 2 hours before they're meant to be there. And they sit in the bar and lower back, you know, 4 or 5 pints. And they have enough that they're not actually completely ossified, but they're close to being ossified. And the extra two then they'll have on the plane puts them over the top. Now, some of them will just fall asleep, and that's grand. But, you know, others don't. They just become unruly.
No, because, like, what happened was, you know, the way... This was even worse, right? Is, do you know the way you get on the plane, but you have to get a bus to the plane across the tarmac?
Yeah,
across
the
ramp and that? Oh, good Jesus Christ. There was about 15 lads there.
Locked.
Straight from the pub. And I was like,
and
oh,
the
God.
Smell
oh,
of drink. God. Yeah, I went away 1 year and we had the kid and like she was only about 8 or 9 at the time, maybe 10. And there was a group going over to the Canaries and there was a group of young ones and young fellas and they were kind of behind us and the girls were kind of in front of us and they were standing up, shouting back and forward, Meech is in the pub, lay off. And all this, Balliar, we're from Balliar. And all that. And I'm going, oh, jeez. And the language of them was atrocious. Then your woman starts twerking in the middle of the aisle. And I'm going, what? Like, this is just not right. This is a plane.
And that was it because there was a load of kids on that bus as well. And obviously on the plane. And all you can hear is, oh, I'm dying to go over a fucking wee. I need to go over a piss. I need to, you know, and you're going, oh, my God. And then, like, as you say, it's the language. And then if you're kind of not laughing at them, they're like, oh, look at that dry shite down there. Look at, and you're going, oh, my God, just don't look at them. Just don't look at them.
Well, Angela, I'm going to make an admission here. I'm going to make an admission.
You love Angela.
No, absolutely not. No. before I get on a plane, just like 15 minutes before I get up on a plane, I do take a fistful of sleeping pills.
Right.
Oh, I take Pyrazine.
Because I cannot fly. I'm a terrible flyer. I'm the worst flyer in the world. This is an experience that I had. Now, this will give you the type of caliber of people that I hang around with. There was a girl that I went over to Portugal with years ago, and she was one of those people who sings, you know, we're from Balliar, Balliar, and clapping when the fucking plane lands. She's one of those type of people. But I was sitting there and I didn't take the pills and for the whole flight I was gripped to the chair. I couldn't move and every time the plane would make a banger of noise I was absolutely panicked. But the plane had to go out over the ocean and do a U-turn to get into the runway and the pilot came on and she knew I was terrified. Now, God love her, she tried, but the pilot comes on and he says, now we've descended from 20,000 feet to like 10,000 feet. And she says to me, see, you're grand now, we're at 10,000 feet. As if that made a fucking difference whatsoever.
Yeah. That 15,000 feet made you so much calmer.
Yeah, if I hit the ground now, it's fine.
But you wouldn't hit the ground, you would have hit the sea. But I mean, now and ever. Yeah.
But I do that. I'm not, I don't have a fear. I love flying, I love it. But I just get bored on the flight. So about an hour before I get on, or half an hour, I take a Pirtan, an antihistamine.
But I know a lot of people take Valium and stuff like that. Stay there for a second, both of you, Steve and Angela. Let me just go to Tara and Breda as well, who has skin in the game. Tara, hi, how are you?
Niall, hi, how are things?
Good. Do you agree with Michael O'Leary?
Okay, first of all, as well, just to clear up what I think Stephen's concern was about the door being opened mid-flight. The pressure inside the cabin during a flight is too strong for the door to be open. It would be physically impossible to open the plane door mid-flight.
You're telling me that, but I don't believe it. You're telling me that, but I just don't want to believe it.
Mythbusters did it.
I do remember that episode of Mythbusters where they actually did do it. They opened the door, but go on.
I do think people should be allowed to have a drink or two before a flight, or maybe during a flight. But yes, it should be capped at two drinks, because there is nothing more annoying than being surrounded by drunk people when you're stone cold sober. But I do think, I don't feel that you should ban alcohol outright, because we're already being legislated into in any state. This would just be another nail in the coffin of free will. So I do think people should be allowed a drink or two, but yeah, cap it at two.
Yeah, but the problem is, when you give an inch, people take a mile. So we've allowed people to drink on aircrafts for the last God knows how many donkey's years, right? But now it's getting to a point where, you know, those who are causing problems are becoming a real problem. On a regular basis, flights are being grounded, flights are being turned around, flights have to have emergency landings.
And stags and
it's flights usually to Ibiza and places like that, you know, the kind of party goers. And you just can't have that, Tara, even when you're 30,000 feet in the air. You can't have drunks.
Oh, I get that. So maybe I'm certain, maybe the problematic routes, because I'm sure, as you said, there are certain routes that would where these incidents will be more frequent. So the likes of, say, the flights to Ibiza, maybe those flights should have an outright ban.
Yeah, but I mean, I see it. I was coming back once from America, and I was coming in through New York, and there was a queue there, obviously, to get on, and there was a woman, and she was absolutely ossified. Now, ossified, right? Getting on the flight in JFK Airport. Now, turned out she was Irish. Surprise, surprise. Right? Spot the Irish person. She was Irish. And she said, don't have me on the fucking plane. And I'm going, are you really surprised they won't let you on? They eventually let her on. Now, they did actually let her on in the end. They sat her down. They got her coffee. They let her on in the end, obviously on the condition that she didn't drink any more alcohol, right? But I mean, she was absolutely out of her mind. She was an older woman in her 50s.
Those standards are experienced enough to know to preempt which ones, okay, this one's going to be problematic on the flight. I mean, like, now in fairness, we don't know how the altitude is going to affect anyone when they've got alcohol in them, but I would trust that the staff, the flight staff would know, okay, well, that person looks like she probably won't be a problem once we get her on and get her calmed down. Then there's others who you'd know, you kind of have an inkling, yeah, that person's going to be a problem, get them off the flight, don't let them on. So I would trust that the staff would have the best judgment there.
Do you think?
But I do think that certain routes should have an outright ban on alcohol. But in saying that, I mean, some people just get very nervous before flights, so maybe there needs to be other options in the airport to help people calm and relax. Maybe like CBD.
Give them a Xanax. Yeah, sorry, Angela. Angela, what are you trying to say to Tara there? Go ahead.
Sorry to do this now, Steve, but 27th of May 2023, a passenger arrested after plane door opened mid-flight because he felt uncomfortable and wanted to get off the plane.
See what I mean, Tara? It can be done.
Mid-flight.
It can be done.
Yeah.
Christ, when I looked it up, it said that the pressure is too much, and I would have thought that anyway, that the pressure would be too strong inside the cabin mid-flight, you know, with the physics of it, that it just will be impossible.
Well, I tell you what, hang on, both of you. Let me go to the expert on this matter, okay? Breda, of course, you know, has been in the air as cabin crew for all of her life. Breda, before we get to the drink, can you open the door mid-flight?
No, no, that flight was taxiing in, and they were in a hold position to taxi in, and your man got fed up and he opened the door. It is impossible to open a door mid-flight.
They said they were up in the air.
No, no, they weren't. They weren't. No, no.
Well, the only thing is, there's a video of it.
Well, then, hold on, Breeda. Then what's
now, it flew off in under 10,000 feet, but that was a fault with Boeing.
The door blew off. Oh, that makes Steve feel a whole lot better.
Never get out of plane.
But okay, but Breeda, let's say there's an emergency on the flight and the plane goes on fire on the inside and it's 30,000 feet and you need to get the door open so people can take their chance and leap out.
Put your head between your ass and kiss it goodbye.
Right. Right, okay.
But hopefully we'll be able to put the fire out with our halon extinguishers now.
See, Tara is being kind of logical. Obviously, Angela going for a outright ban. Michael O'Leary says two drinks, although I don't trust Michael O'Leary. I think he's still going to sell them alcohol on the plane. But Breeda, you lot, the cabin crew, you're the ones who are feeding them with the drink. And I've seen cabin crew give drinks to people who are already pissed.
Well, not on any of my flights, I can tell you. We are very careful when people are coming on. If somebody comes down and tells me someone's pissed up at the gate, they're not getting on. End of story. Now, I can't speak for other crew, but that's what happens on my flight. If we realise somebody is trying to get drink off me, off Mary, off Pat, off Niall, off whatever, then we communicate with each other and we go, yeah, just tell them you'll be back in a minute. And we just leave them there. And we let them forget about it for a while, And we'll do it. And if they're at a point where we feel they shouldn't have any more drinks, then I will go down and speak to them. And I'm going to say, for safety reasons, we cannot give you any more alcohol. And Stephen, taking a second sleeping tablet, getting on a plane. Sweet Jesus, if we had to do an emergency evacuation, you're my worst nightmare.
Yeah, Angela takes Annex.
Me too as well. I take a Pyritin.
Oh, Pyritin, sorry.
A Pyritin, it only makes you feel a little bit.
It's a Pyritin is an antihistamine, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all it is. It just makes you drowsy. It's just like, I'm not knocked out like.
But Breeda, there's a lot of people take, Xanax and Valium and all, whatever, before they go, because they're terrified.
And then a lot of these people look like they're unresponsive, and we have to go down and do hello, hello, can you hear me? Can
slap
you hear
their
me?
Face like.
Well, try and see, we have an ABPU, it's called Alert Voice Pain and Unresponsive. So if you're unresponsive, then we're like going, help, help, I need help. It causes a whole lot of other problems for crew on board an aircraft.
Okay, well, let's get to the nub of the question. Tara says two drinks, maybe. Angela says no drinks, maybe. Michael O'Leary says two, but I think he's talking about the airport, not the plane, to be honest with you, but however. So what do you think, Breeda?
Well, we used to do a beast years ago, and we made it a non-alcoholic flight. OCS were at the door, and we took every bit of alcohol off, and we put it into a half container, and they all got their drink when they landed into Ibiza. No drink on board the aircraft. Mm. None. So if Michael O'Leary is having problem aircraft, that's what he needs to do. He needs to stop doing drink on those aircraft. I mean, I'm flying now 20 years, Niall, and I could put in one hand the amount of people who've had trouble with alcohol.
But even if you can count them on one hand, that's too many. You shouldn't be having problems at 30,000 feet. It's all well and good in a pub, you can throw somebody out. You can't throw somebody out on a plane. How many times have I read in the paper over the last 6 months of a plane had to, emergency landing or turn around, or police were waiting to escort somebody off a plane, and there's videos on TikTok of people kicking off on planes. It's constantly happening.
How many of those was an Aer Lingus flight?
I'm not accusing Aer Lingus. I'm just saying.
I'm just making a point. We are very stringent about alcohol being given out. We monitor who gets on the aircraft when they're coming down to the door.
There was a lad next to me. Now, I'm sorry. I'm not having a go at Aer Lingus. I think they're one of the best airlines in the world, right? But I was on an Aer Lingus flight going back not too long ago, and there was a lad beside myself and Karen, was the three seats, and there was a lad sitting beside us on the inside, at the lane, so to speak, the aisle, and he was hammered, absolutely hammered. He then put his hood up over his head, and he pulled the sick bag up, and he was starting to get sick, And oh, after God. And then he put the sick bag back, right, full of sick, obviously. And then proceeded to order more drink. And your woman was come by and she gave him another, and he was drinking the little bottles of Jameson's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and glasses of wine, and it was a cocktail.
Did you not bring to our attention that he was pissed and had
his own wife, or she was on the other side of the aisle. She brought it to his attention very smartly, and they ended up not talking to each other halfway through the flight. And then when we got to the airport, we were just kind of monitoring the situation. She walked about 50 feet in front of him, walked out of the airport without him. Without him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done.
This is the thing, right? If they're a long haul flight, if you're on the flight for between 5 and 7 hours, right, going to the States, it's different. If you're flying from, let's say, Shannon to London, it's 1 hour and 15, right? So if you want to have a drink on the flight, you're not going to get totally ossified on the flight. No. You're not.
Mm.
But as you say, if you're in the airport, like a lot of people do, and the other thing now is it's a bonus in Shannon, but it's also not great that now there's no limit on the liquids, right? So
that's
you
gone,
can bring what...
On, Angela, that's gone from the 1st of September. The EU have brought back in a temporary ruling that everyone has to now only have 100 mils or less in their bags going through security. So that's gone...
Up until now, you could bring what you want through Shannon Airport. So there's people going through a bottles of vodka and everything and drinking them in the airport.
Tara, do you drink, Tara?
I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I wouldn't be a big drinker, but I like a drink now and then.
Okay, would you drink on the plane?
If it was a long flight, say to the States, I might have
more.
Would
you not just get a Coke? I mean, the drink Coke, obviously. Would you not just get a Coke?
Well, I probably get that or a coffee. It depends, really. I mean, like, I know the last time I was in the States, it was a couple of years ago. And yeah, just like, it was kind of like myself and a few friends were going, and we had a celebration drink, but we only had like one that, you know, weren't getting hammered or anything. It wasn't like that. So, I mean, I don't know I might have one maybe if I want to help myself sleep. Maybe I might have one, but I wouldn't be a big drinker, so it wouldn't bother me whether I had one or not. Still, that kind of way.
Mm. Yeah, okay.
But now, the other thing as well is that you have Dublin Airport Authority selling alcohol. You can go up and buy it whether you're going to the States or not. So, I mean...
I'm calling for that to be banned too. They should close the bars in the airport. There should be no bars in the airport.
I'm not talking about the bar. I'm talking about duty free now. They're never going to close duty free. It's one of their biggest money makers.
So what? They're bringing the alcohol.
What they should do is what they do in the States or what they do in Shannon as well. If you're buying cigarettes or drink, you pick it up at the door of the plane.
As you're getting on.
Which they can still drink it on the plane.
Yeah, so they're drinking on the plane, Angela.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if it's a flight that's only so long, you know, you're not going to get absolutely astocious on the flight if it's an hour and a half. Do you understand me?
You have to drink with them, Angela, and you can't catch them.
So, by the way, somebody just texted in and wants to know, can you ask Bea, the expert on airplanes? But I don't know if she's an expert in airplanes. But anyway, she's an expert on cabin crew. Where is the safest place to sit if the plane is going to crash?
The back.
To be honest with you, I'd go for the front. Because if the plane's going to crash, you're going to die anyway. You might as well do it quickly and be sure of it.
Not necessarily.
Angela, how many times have you heard of a commercial airline crashing and survivors? How many times have you heard of that? It doesn't really happen.
If it happens on the runway, yeah, it can happen. But, I mean, I know that was the exception, Angela. I mean, that guy was amazing. I was in New York that day.
Sully.
Yeah, he was fabulous.
By the way, have you watched the movie? You should watch the movie and the accusations they made against him, trying to prove that he had been drinking and all sorts of things.
He had him a terrible time, that poor man. And
that poor man.
Right, what happened. Yeah, dreadful.
Yeah.
He saved all those people. And if he hadn't managed to get it into the Hudson, it would have gone into all those Empire State, all the big buildings, and we would have all been left there for a week because they would have thought it was another attack on them.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, so, but come here.
Oh, well, no, hang on, both of you a second. Let me just bring a male perspective in here. Jason, hi,
perfect,
how are you?
Thanks,
Jason. Good. Jason, should we ban alcohol completely from airlines and airports?
No.
No. Why not? Why
not? I'm not drinking. I don't fly. I'm not drinking. Why? Okay. How many people drink and get onto that plane and cause absolutely no problem?
Most people get it cause no problem.
There you go. So why are we now again pandering to the people who cannot control themselves?
Because they put everybody else at risk.
But they don't really. I mean, there's enough big fellas on the plane. There's enough big fellas on the plane if they start. I'm sure somebody will stand up. But no, why are we again pandering to these people? Because certain people can't hold themselves. Because certain people can't control themselves. It's the same as now you're not allowed to put chippers and, you know, around school. You're not allowed to advertise food, this and you're because certain people have no control over themselves. The rest of us have to suffer.
You're not allowed to drink on a Dublin bus.
Ah, come here. When was the last time you were on a Dublin bus? I ain't going to be the least out of leading Woody's now.
I'm sorry.
If you were drunks on Dublin bus, they'd be happy than what's really going on in Dublin bus. But come here.
Yeah, I'd be
glad that we're talking about airplane. Here. Yeah. I'll give you a good one. Just as we're talking about, Steve was talking about, he gets nervous when he sees a foreigner going towards the door of a plane. I've only ever been on a plane twice my whole entire life. My first time I was 25. It was just after 9/11. It was just after 9/11, a month after 9/11. And the two pilots came on, and let's just say they were of Middle Eastern origin. And if you had seen me try to get off the plane, it was very funny.
Why did you try to get off the
plane? I believe
it was my very first time.
Know,
it was my very, very first time flying, Niall. I was
you thought,
only
you thought they were on a mission or something?
Come on, what do you think? And I've only ever flown once.
I'm assuming the plane landed safely somewhere else at its destination.
I'm sitting here talking to you, and the two lads had beautiful British accents, and as soon as I heard that, I was all happy and calm.
Jason, can I
it's called profiling, by the way, can I just point out to you?
Yeah. Oh no, that was your profile. I'll be shitting myself now.
Yeah. So yeah, and so go on.
Jason, you obviously haven't experienced what it's like, so, to be on board a plane where there's a hen party.
That was my second time. That's why I gave it up. Yeah. It was just too messy for me.
So what
I'd rather be in
my
truck or a boat.
Yeah, if people cannot hold off for, let's say, within Europe, right? Let's say a four-hour flight.
Yeah.
If people cannot hold off for 6 hours from having a drink, they've got a problem.
Jason, I can't disagree with Angela. And I'd say that as well to Breda, who's dishing out the drink.
Again, Niall.
You know what I mean?
All we're doing now is pandering. You wouldn't let the government control.
I'm not one for letting the government control anything. I'm just saying we have clear evidence, and Michael O'Leary said it today or yesterday, we've clear evidence that there's a problem. That, you know, certain flights in particular have more of a problem than others, the likes of Ibiza, et cetera, et cetera. The party destination.
Okay, so.
Yeah,
okay,
one at a time. Yeah, sorry, Breda. Go on. What are you trying to say to Jason?
Why doesn't Michael O'Leary make them non alcoholic flights and do what we did on the Ibiza flights?
Money. It is all boils down to money. Michael O'Leary only wants two drinks in the airport, as Niall says, so he can sell. He's not going to refuse to sell it on his airline plans, okay? But what I'm saying is. Why should we bend over to these gobshites? We know them. We know they're drunk. Okay, if they're young and we know they're going to be, so you put a bit of security. Well, I'm on the boats all the time, Niall, as you know, and there was a certain boat every Friday evening. The company doesn't operate out of here now, so I can say a P&O. They used to have to put security on the Friday evening coming back into Dublin, okay, on a certain boat. And we all know the reason why. A certain group of people used to travel back to Ireland at the weekends, and they used to wreck the boat. Mm. Didn't stop them selling drink. Didn't close down the duty-free on the boat. They just put a bit of security on the boat.
Because they want to lose the money.
You know what the difference with this is, Jason? The biggest difference is, this isn't just young people. This is young people. This is middle-aged people. This is older people.
How many flights every day go on? How many flights leave this country? Just even Ireland. The Breeden might be able to help me with this. Roughly how many flights a day leave Ireland? And on them, how many have trouble?
Yeah,
there'll
be 100
a lot of
flights,
them.
Maybe more. But
no, there's more. I think there's more than 100 breed, isn't there?
There probably is, Niall. I'm only going on.
I think, didn't I see that Dublin Airport had a record? Was it last year? 250,000 people in one day, or one week? Maybe that was weekend. I don't know. But
all them, how many people caused trouble? Honestly,
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
A small percentage. Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Jason. A small percentage.
Do we ruin it for everybody else because a few cannot manage themselves, haven't got their common decency to say, right, I've had enough drink. Why does everybody else that doesn't cause any problem have to suffer because of them?
By the way, there's 600 to 800 arrivals and departures, planes per day.
There you go,
Breda. 600 to 800. Whoa. You and your 100.
But you know what?
No, sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Jason, you've hit the nail on the head. Why do people have to suffer? Somebody that can't not drink for 6 hours.
I mean, Breda, how often do you have to clean up sick because somebody has vomited their ring up because they drank too much?
I've done it twice in my lifetime so far.
Would you stop? Are you telling me only twice somebody has vomited all over the seat in front of them?
Come on, after them.
Honest to God, Niall. After that, it's kids being sick or whatever. Absolutely.
And what do you do if Johnny, if pissed Johnny vomits all over the seat in front of him, right, or whatever it is? Do you just close off that seat until the plane lands and leave it to the cleaners to do it, or do you do it?
No, we clean it up.
Not always, Breda.
You've only cleaned it up twice, in fairness.
Shut up, Niall. But that's all I've ever come across. I mean, unless somebody just does it and we don't realise until, you know. But, like, absolutely. We have the biohazard kits there. We have the dust to put down to solidify it and whatever. So I mean,
dust to solidify it?
Yeah, to make it so it's easier to get it up.
All right, okay.
But they're called spill kits, though. We have them in the garages. We spill diesel. It's just a bit of stuff you throw, and it absorbs all the liquids on the ground, and you're able to just scoop it up and throw into a bag.
Is it worth it letting two people, not even, let's say one person, getting on a flight, disrupting it, could happen, and it has happened, pissing themselves, and then they're vomiting all over the place, disrupting
that happens
everything.
Every weekend in Dublin. Get onto any bus train, get onto any
But not at 30,000 feet, Jason.
But I'm just saying it does happen. But no, as I said, 600, up to 600 flights a day leaving Dublin Airport. How many realistically do we hear about causing trouble? It's one or two a week perhaps coming out of the UK. Very seldom you hear it coming out of here. Look at America. They're not drunk when they're doing it in America. I've seen hundreds of videos coming out of America. If you wear the wrong baseball cap, they'll jump on you and try and tear your head off. Do we stop people wearing baseball caps now because one or two can't control themselves?
That's not true. Go on TikTok and look up Irish flight disruption. And you'll see they're all over. The videos are all over the place.
Now, when you say all over, so are we talking a couple of day every day? Or are we, as I said, are we just talking one or two during the busy seasons? You know, I mean, it's not...
We only really hear about the flights that have been grounded or turned around, which happens regularly too, by the way. And the person will be arrested then or whatever, right? And by the way, there's serious consequences. You go to jail for it, right? Depending on what country you happen to be arrested in, you know, you could be in really bad luck and be grounded in a country where, you know, the laws are not the same as they are here. But anyway, the point is, you only hear about those more serious ones. But you don't really hear about, on a daily basis, you know, where flights regularly are disrupted to the point where it just causes fear in people. And upsetting people, and children are there, and you've got, you know, young adults, 25, 30, pissed out of their head, using bad sexual language, and gyrating and showing their boobs.
Jason, I had it coming back in May, right? In May, when I was coming back on an early morning flight. Hold on.
Who are you flying with?
I'm looking at who these people are flying
with. Okay, I'm just looking at the stats here. 250 incidents a year. They're serious incidents. That's a lot.
A year.
Yeah, that's
a flight today.
But that's serious incidents.
200 a year.
Is that in Ireland, Niall? Is that in Ireland?
Hold on here. Yeah, that's Ireland, yeah.
Okay.
Dublin Airport Authority, okay. 250 incidents per year.
Let me finish.
Okay, let Breda finish there. Breda, that's a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot, yeah, absolutely. But again, like, you know, a lot of it is to do with the crew on board an aircraft. I mean, you can shut this off fairly quick and make it very clear that that behaviour is not acceptable. And, you know, you can go back over and they have to put one of the crew standing beside them so that they don't misbehave them, you know, like they keep their voices down or whatever else. Pain in the ass, but it has to sometimes. Now, again, the only time I ever had trouble was on a beta flight. I have to put my hand on my heart and say, the only time I had a couple of hens going to Alicante, and once you go out, you go, girls, come on, like, please, you're going to get me into serious trouble here. Will you keep it down? They were very reasonable, and they kept it down.
Yeah, but you don't. But you don't want. I mean, when there's children and, you know, normal people on the flight, business people as well as people going on holidays, whatever, you don't want young ones running around with blow up Mickeys running around. You know, drinking.
But I wouldn't let them run around. I put on the seatbelt sign for starters. They all have to stay in your seats. So that's.
By the way, By the way, can I answer me an honest question? Do you stick on the seatbelt sign every now and again just for a bit of peace?
No.
Tell the truth.
Only if we had like that a group of passengers being rowdy and wouldn't get into their seat, then yes, I would ask for the seatbelt sign to be put on. But that's more for safety reasons.
Who puts on the seatbelt sign, by the way?
The captain.
Oh, the captain. Okay, so it's not you lot.
No, the other boss puts it on.
Oh, okay. Well, hang on. Let me stay there for a second. Let me go to Ben. Ben, hi. How are you?
How's it going?
Good. Sorry, Ben, for keeping you. Ben, okay, back to Michael O'Leary. So he wants a 2-drink limit put on people. Now, I think Michael O'Leary's talking about the airport because I think he'll continue to sell the alcohol on the planes. But anyway, I'm saying we should just ban it altogether. Why not?
Well, it won't happen. And this comes down to, I think, something that Jason said, is the fact that it all comes down to revenue. And so at the end of the day, the airport is going to... Look, you know, it's gone from being just a place where you pick up an aircraft. It's no longer an aircraft stop. This is, you know, they call it Airportopolis these days. It's a big money-making business, not just for itself, but also for the surrounding areas. And this is why everything is about trying to get the passengers through screening as quickly as possible into the most elaborate sales area you can possibly get and get people to buy and buy and buy, and whether it's duty-free or it's alcohol, this is what it's all about. It's making revenue. And likewise for the airlines themselves, they need to make additional revenue, particularly Ryanair, because Ryanair, the only way that they can keep their prices low is by additional sales.
But do they make that much, really? I mean, do they sell, you know, much of that overpriced perfume and overpriced drinks and crisps and chocolate? Do they sell much of that stuff? Do they actually make money doing that?
There's huge business. I mean, it's a huge business. And this is why, again, very much to the point now where you have very much more private companies running it in conjunction with the governments, because the private companies and big, big organizations are making massive money out of it. It was the same with airlines themselves. Airlines, as I've said before, are not run by aircraft enthusiasts anymore. They're run by accountants.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember speaking to you before, Ben. You work in the aviation industry, and you have for many years. Mm. So you're kind of familiar with this whole situation. But when you see a situation where these incidents and the numbers of these incidents are rising, and they are rising, or maybe we're just hearing about it more because we can see the videos on TikTok of some young one or some guy causing a fight and the plane having to land and the police getting on and taking them off. I mean, that's unacceptable. And not only that type of behaviour, but just misbehaviour in front of children, other people who just want a peaceful journey. You know, alcohol is the root of all of the problems.
You know,
we're trying to say
the aviation industry has been typically very reactive, and that's all it is. It's a reactive industry because the aviation industry as a whole loves the status quo. They like things to be the way they are, and that works. Happy days. But when the only time they'll change is when something seriously serious happens. Now, when you're talking about 250 incidents, they may be diversions, there may be violation cards handed out, various different things like that. But generally speaking, nothing seriously serious has happened to affect change or to affect policy change. And again, this would come down to the specific jurisdiction as well in terms of what they want to do. So whether O'Leary manages to get Dublin Airport to reduce the amount of alcohol sold to people at the airport, it might not be the same as in Charles de Gaulle or in Atlanta or in Sydney. So it comes down to the jurisdiction or the policies within the airport.
I'm reading here, worldwide industry estimates suggest that a significant percentage of unruly passengers' incidents are related to alcohol. IATA has noted that 60 to 70% of these cases involve alcohol consumption either before boarding or while the aircraft is obviously in the air. This implies that 8,000 incidents reported annually, around 4,800 to 5,600 could be alcohol related. And it also says, based on available data and industry estimates, duty-free sales at Dublin Airport likely generate annual revenues in the range of 120 million to 180 million, accounting for a significant portion of the airport's retail income. Didn't think it was that big. Hey, Jesus.
Yep. Look, you know, as well, you know, this all filters into the various other parts of it as well. You know, when we look at airport security, you know, airport security needs to be paid for. And, you know, the government aren't paying for it, even though IATA advocates for governments to pay for it, but they won't. They'll pay for half of it. And so then the money then will go to the airlines. Well, the airlines will have to pay the difference. And, of course, the tickets prices will have to reflect that. And so to, again, equal that out or level that out to continue business and continue passenger revenue, they'll have to find that elsewhere. Mm. So everything is tied together. Mm. And unfortunately, alcohol is part of that. So this is where...
So should there be any limits at all then? Should there be any... I mean, I had suggested years ago about, you know, on your check-in card that you've got two little things, tear-offs or whatever, I don't know, digitally, because it's all digital now, that you can buy two drinks in the airport. Because the problem is when
risk
you've got...
assessment.
Huh?
It has to be a risk assessment based. You know, and again, this it comes back to, you know, being... more proactive rather than reactive in terms of this situation. So if your airport typically has a situation in which you have very much more drunk people coming out of it, then the airlines with IATA would have to advocate to suggest that this airport will have to put some sort of restriction on drink. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, so everything is tied into money. So it's going to be...
And do you really think? Well, maybe I'm wrong in thinking this. I'm naive. Do they put money before health and safety?
No, we don't deny it.
Well, you're saying we don't, Breeda, and I trust Aer Lingus don't, right? But no. Some of the cheaper airlines who rely on that extra cash, as Ben pointed out, I have seen cabin crew serving drink to people who are hammered.
Now, how many times have you seen it now?
I'm not talking about Aer Lingus. I'm talking about cheap airlines.
But again, you're talking about an airline. Well, you see, you've got to remember the airline, Aer Lingus was one of the pioneers of actually charging people on international flights for alcohol, whilst the other long-haul legacy airlines weren't charging people for alcohol. So there wasn't that revenue stream that Aer Lingus have been getting, and of course Ryanair gets, particularly on long haul flights. You know, you look at the Uniteds and people like that, that there isn't a charge for that, or British Airways. Mm. So that's the additional revenue stream. So again, it depends on the business model.
Well, do me a favor, both of you, stay there for a second. Let me just bring Carl Dieter in. Carl, hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay now, are you well?
There you go. You know, Ben says not a lot we're going to do about this because it all comes down to money. They need the revenue that they make from alcohol. But, I mean, Michael Leary has suggested a two-drink limit. Now, I think he's suggesting that for the airport, not for his bloody flights. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, people will still find a way to game that system because, say, for instance, if I get a flight and I'm a non-drinker for the most part, my wife could have my drink tickets and hers. So, you know, there's always ways around these things. I mean, there is a point to be made that alcohol is a drug. Nobody debates that. And you can't smoke on a plane. You can't vape on a plane, which I never really understood, but mm-hmm. You can't. You can't consume any drugs apart from over-the-counter or prescription drugs on a plane. Equally, in the USA, if you're flying from a state where marijuana is legal to another state where marijuana is legal, you can't eat it or, you know, smoke it, etc. So why is alcohol available? And, okay, so there's a revenue reason for it. I mean, some people... they're nervous flyers. Alcohol helps them cope with that because there's some people who have massive anxiety about getting on planes and flying. And then there's those who are effectively social donkeys and they can't control themselves and it results in terrible outcomes. As you said, half of the incidents have alcohol as a factor.
70%. 70% of the incidents.
Or 70%, sorry. Yeah. So, I mean, I've seen people who are drunk abuse other passengers, screaming on planes, fighting, threats towards staff, inappropriate language, you know, especially in front of my kids. And you know that when someone's acting inappropriate and they're drunk, that if you try to calm them down, often it just makes it even worse. So I think there is an argument for just saying, look, in the same way you can't consume other drugs on a plane, alcohol being a drug, you can't consume it. If people say, oh, I love the flavor, why don't we just start pint to zero? And
yeah, but see, but yeah.
And if it's a revenue stream for that airline, that's not going to happen. Unless it's an airline again that gives out free alcohol, if it's a revenue stream, that's their business model, and that's the way they're going to stick with it. Unless they are regulated against doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it this way. I'm benign. I don't see it as a big enough problem for me individually to really care about this. So, like, I have been on flights where people are painful to be around and they're drunk and they're falling and they're saying silly stuff. But, you know, I walk down the street and that happens. I get other forms of public transport.
Carl, don't use that argument. It's like saying I go to pubs and people are hammered. I can walk out of the pub. You know, I can walk away from the person on the street. Or in the pub, the person can be kicked out if they become a problem.
While on trains or automobiles or, you know, buses, I've also seen lots of inappropriate behavior. And I think that's just part of the risk of going through life, is that, yeah, you're going to face some things that you don't enjoy. I think what would be appropriate is to say that, you know, there will be CCTV analysis of these things. And if you're drunk and disorderly on a plane, that you A, get arrested, and B, that you face savage fines, and I don't care if you're on welfare or you have no money or your arm's falling off. I think there should
be. Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, it's all about enforcement. Like, the mini authoritarians in most people's minds, mostly left-leaning gimps who sadly there's a lot of in the world, is all about saying control everything, control everything. No, don't control everything. Let there be chaos. But if you're a fool, you should pay the price of that chaos. And I think that's the better approach.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, if you are taken off a plane or you are arrested at the other end because you've caused a huge problem on the plane,
you're not leaving the airport police for 72 hours at a minimum. In other words, we're going to take time out of your day just as a minimum, you know, withholding period that you can be kept in the airport, and you'll face massive fines which would
be standardized across Europe. Yeah, standardized fines across Europe. Yeah, no matter what jurisdiction.
10 grand. See how you feel then.
10 grand.
10 grand. So if you can't pay the 10 grand, you're not fucking getting out.
This would then again filter into the risk-based situation where, you know, you might have somebody who could handle 15 pints on a long-haul flight and be perfectly fine, albeit very drunk, not causing any trouble. Whereas you then have those people who can't necessarily hold themselves, and this will then be obviously noticed by the video, and then they can be dealt with afterwards. I mean, look, there are ways to try and mitigate against this, but it all, as I say, comes down to a risk-based model in terms of how you're going to actually deal with it. But really, at the end of the day, it is a money situation. If it's part of your revenue stream, then that's that.
Carl, do you think Michael O'Leary means it, or is Michael O'Leary just looking for publicity once again? Because realistically, O'Leary makes more money probably from what he sells on the plane than apart from the seats, if you know what I mean. He makes more money from everything else than the seats.
You can say that, but balance that against the other things that might be happening. Maybe they have massive HR claims for the same reasons that kind of, you know, negate that. Maybe there is a view that on certain flights, like if you're flying to, say,
Ibiza,
that they're highly unpleasant and that it affects their bottom line in other ways. Now, I'm not going to try and mind read what Michael O'Leary thinks, because I can't mind read anybody.
But look, we all know O'Leary. Sure, at one stage he said he was going to have porn on screens. Another stage he said he was getting rid of the jack so he could put two extra seats in. You know what I mean? So he says mad things.
So what I'm saying is you have to take it with a pinch of salt that, you know, he might have done an accounting equation and said, if we did this, we'd get X. Or, you know, if we charged a euro to use the toilet, we would use less toilet roll, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes he's just flying kites. And to be honest with you, he might not be your flavor, but I actually think he's a wonderful entrepreneur and a great addition.
Absolutely. He's great at getting publicity.
To the world in general. He made Ryanair into a superior airline that I love. I travel with 100%. Them by choice. You know, their flights are reliable. They're low cost. We never would have had low cost flights in Ireland without them. So you have to gauge it against all those.
Yeah, now if Ryanair never came along, we'd still be paying Aer Lingus ridiculous money for flights.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, so some of these things. Let's just say he doesn't mean it. Okay, fine. It's a bit of fun, whatever, and we can have our debate. Let's just say that he does. What would be the reasons that he would want that? Is there a risk to other passengers who get assaulted on a plane? Do they have a duty of care towards those passengers? I would argue that they would. It could result in lawsuits that are many multiples of all the money that's made.
Well, just to let you know, Ryanair make between 228 million and 456 million annually from selling products like food and alcohol on the flight.
Yeah, so let's just strip it down, because when you talk about food and alcohol, you can't assume that alcohol is the majority of it. Like when I'm traveling, I would look around. Yeah, people do buy drinks, but a lot of them are soft drinks, coffees, hot chocolate, sandwiches, crisps, you know, all these other things. So let's just say it's about a third of that. But if it's a lower end,
I'd say it's more than a third.
More, Okay, well, look, pick the number that you want. Let's just say
depends on the flight. Depends on the flight.
Yeah, well, if it's short haul or long haul, or when I say long haul, you know, four or five hours.
Bear in mind that a lot of flights are first thing in the morning, and people don't tend to drink alcohol at certain times of the day. So it might not be as big as what you think, but let's just say it's half and it's 250 million. Then that's 125 million a year of top line revenue, but also comes with a supply cost built into it. So, I mean, it might not be as great as what you think. And what he's been saying is the people that we have problems with, 70% of the time, alcohol is involved. But if we were able to limit what they could consume, then it might limit the problem. Now, people find ways around that, but to say, look, we had this process in place, and that's why it's not really our fault because they evaded the system. You know, there's things like that you got to think about.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just bring Morris in. Morris, hi. How are you doing?
What happened to where I'm going on a summer holiday? No more worries for a week or two, huh?
Well, this
is going to tell you.
By the way, just to let Carl know, 20-30% is alcohol officially. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm very surprised that O'Leary is talking about this because his whole idea in life, as Carl said, is to make money out of people. And if things go wrong, you go over the lesson, say, certainly the flight was delayed 10 hours. Go and sue me. See you in the court of European rights. And he'll drag everybody to the court rather than compensate them, even though the laws are there. So I have a solution to this problem, right? And this will scare people because nobody wants to be turned back from an airport on their holidays, right? Why don't they install breathalyzers at every check-in counter? And anybody that's been drinking blows into the breathalyzer. And if it goes off for a negative, you're not getting on the flight. Do you think people will take that chance? No, because you're putting the responsibility back on them. End of story. But I'm from the generation of I work hard, I save, I bring my family on holidays, and I like to have a drink on the flight or before pre-flight point, right?
Yeah.
But now recently, I don't because I fly and drive now. So I don't drink. But I don't want the right or the option of taking off me because there's a couple of arseholes out there that can't control their drink, that are out of control. And they ruin it for everybody. Like you said, they're far and few between. It's like a needle in a haystack. But they're the ones that get the publicity. Not the flights that go through perfectly and everybody's happy. And another thing about O'Leary, his staff would be on so bad wages, as far as I know, from people in the industry, that everything they sell, they get a bonus.
Well, they do. Yeah, they do get commissions. Yeah.
Yeah, the more they sell, the bigger the commission. So he has his staff, like salespeople on the plane, ruthless. So why don't they install breathalyzers at the check-in desk? And if that gets out, that if you want to take a chance on gargling and you're going to put your family holiday and your kids and disappoint them because you're getting turned away, nobody will do it.
Karen, is that a fair point? Random, I don't know, random breathalyzing at check-in?
Well, you see, the thing is, like, okay, let's just say we go to a bar. And again, let's look at this statistically. In every bar, there might be, say, 100 people having drinks. And we'll assume that half of them are over the limit. So half of them would fail this breathalyzer. But how many of them turn out to be problematic drinkers? In other words, more of a problem to themselves or someone else as a result, as a direct result of their drinking?
Very few.
It might be none.
Yeah.
None. Like I go to a bar every single week without fail. I play music in bars, and it's a great hobby. And I've almost never in the bars that I play in seen fights or wild, inappropriate behavior. It's pretty rare. So if you went the breathalyzer route, you wouldn't be breathalyzing for what's safe to drive. You'd be breathalyzing for something that's arbitrary because you can have someone who's trashed and no problem to anyone and quietly sits there and is wonderful and, you know, they get on the plane. And then you can have someone who's barely over the limit and starts acting like a psycho. So I think it would have
I understand the point he's making there, Morris. You know what I mean? It's not like you're in charge of driving a car or something like that. So if you set a limit, say you set a limit of 2 pints, right? Or whatever, and somebody blows the bag and they're at 3 pints, but they might be perfectly fine. They just sit there and fall asleep on the plane.
Yeah. All I'm saying to you is, if he brings in the 2 point rule and somebody's over it, or if they blow that hard that the fall time's over the limit. Look, I'll give you an example. The guards put up on Twitter there recently. They came across this car that was acting suspiciously, so they pulled the driver. He was 9 times over the limit.
God.
Yeah. There you go. And that's a fella out on the road. So that's a killer. That's a lunatic killer. He should be banned from driving for the rest of his life and go to prison for 4 years, in my opinion. Teach the fucker a lesson. But if you have somebody on a plane, like Steve said, he takes pills. He calms down. You have the other fella that'll take a joint, right? But if you have somebody that's sitting in a bar and CCTV. Why don't they put CCTV in the whole, in the airport bars?
I'm sure
they
do.
Can see who's absolutely lashing the gargle over. But a breathalyzer, a father and a mother going away with three children will not take the risk of getting hammered and ruin the children's holiday. And you're putting the onus back on the holiday maker then and taking the power off them. Definitely.
Okay, Morris, good suggestion. Well, some people might think it's a good suggestion. Sorry, Carl. It's not the worst suggestion in the world to monitor people a bit more. We seem to take a very lax approach to it, Carl. You know, the whole idea of drinking on a plane.
I think it's a terrible suggestion. I don't want to be monitored. I want to be left alone. I don't want anyone all up in my life and shit unless they have a reason to be. And I don't want to be presumed guilty in advance. Now, this is the same reason why I didn't like lockdowns in the past, because there's just an assumption that you're wrong, you're guilty, you've done something bad. No, for the people who do something bad, let's just treat them badly. You know, but for those who know how to behave, who have social norms, who can maybe handle a few drinks, or even if they can't handle a few drinks, but they still don't act inappropriately, let them get on with their lives. We don't need, you know, this massive Big Brother operation. Let's just deal with the dickheads in the way that we should be dealing with them. And then it becomes less of a problem, which is, if you get arrested off a flight, which, you know, should have CCTV from the plane, and maybe everyone has a phone, you know, maybe some phone footage, determine that if you get arrested, that you can be held for up to 6 hours without charge while they get the data. And then if you are doing something and they say, yeah, look, this warrants a problem, keep you for up to 72 hours and fine you 10 grand. Easy.
Okay, well, thank you for that, Carl Dieter. I appreciate it. Let me go to Dave. Dave, hi, how are you?
What's the crack?
Dave, you heard what Carl said and Ben before that as well. It's probably not going to happen because it's too much money to be made of the whole thing. But Michael Leary's suggesting, obviously, you know, 2-pint limit. And I was asking, why not just ban it altogether? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think banning it altogether, I think, is a bit much because the people who cause the problems are more likely in the extreme minority compared to the people who do drink and are just fine. They sit there, they might sleep or might chat away amongst themselves, but they don't cause hassles at all. I mean, you're the very man who says he doesn't like banning stuff, aren't you?
No, I don't like banning stuff, but I have to be logical as well. If people are going to behave irresponsibly, like they do on many flights, particularly the Ibiza flights, et cetera, or the football flights, and they behave irresponsibly, somebody has to take it into check.
Yeah, but sure. I mean, like, we had Breed on earlier on making the perfect suggestions. Like, she said it, like, you know, the problem flights, just no alcohol flights altogether. I mean, this idea of having two drinks, fine, because, like, a lot of people don't realize alcohol hits you harder when you're in the air anyway. So, you know, those 4 pints you have could be the equivalent of 6 or 7. But then again, alcohol hits different people differently as well. So, you know, a lot of people will be able to handle it while they're on the plane.
Have you ever been on a flight to Ibiza or somewhere like that?
No, I've been on planes before where there's been some drunken gobshites on it and you're kind of wishing that they were sitting in ejector seats, all right. I think we've all had that experience. You know, but at the same time, I wouldn't, like, I mean, it's the novelty. You're starting your holidays, you have one or two beers in the bar. Like, I wouldn't be one of these people now who go to the airport at 6 a.m. and knock back a pint, because by the time you fucking get to where you're going, you feel like you're hungover anyway, you know?
Yeah, but there's mates of mine, and they're, you know, these are drinkers, and they'll say to me, the holiday begins in the taxi, and I'm going, right. You know what I mean? In the taxi to the airport.
I wouldn't mind having one or two at the airport, but I prefer to get to where I'm going, and then...
Then relax and shit. And I'd be the same if I was a drinker, and I'm not a drinker. But I couldn't, because airports to me are the worst place in the world, right? I have a huge anxiety.
You should, because the next time you get in a plane, it'll probably crash. don't fly Boeing anyway, if you like yourself.
Yeah.
But what's the cost? But no, but what I never understood was, like, if you're visibly, like, if I go out tonight, right, and I try to get in a pub or a nightclub, and I'm gee-eyed, they're going to turn me around at the door and send me away. I've never understood this whole thing of where you have people who are visibly intoxicated. And I don't mean someone who's had a couple of beers. They're going to get on. Like, I prefer to have one or two because it's just, I hate sitting in the one spot for 4 or 5 or 6 hours. So I drink a pint or two and I sleep for most of the flight. But I've never understood people who are smash drunk and they let them on the plane. Like, personally, I think the policy should be, if you are visibly intoxicated and you look like you may be a bit of a problem, then you shouldn't be allowed on. Like, this whole having two drinks thing, I wouldn't be against that either. I don't think it's fair to penalise the masses just because some people can't hold their liquor. You know?
Okay, well, hang on. Stay there. Well, hang on. Let me go to John as well. John, hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad, yourself.
Good. John, do you believe that alcohol should be banned on planes?
Yes, it should be the knee-jerk reaction, but the problem is if people know then it is banned on the plane, they will just load up to show it all together in the airport and the bar. So, I mean, right. Unless you're going to implement some kind of policy that you limit the amount of drink that people are going to get and the bar.
See, and I agree, but that's hard to do, because even if you brought in a situation like O'Leary is suggesting, two drinks per passenger, so you'd have it on your boarding card, as he suggested, or whatever way it would work. You know, if I'm not a drinker, I can just give you my two. You know what I mean?
Well, I think if you cause problems like through alcohol in the plane, as Carl has said there previously, there should be a good fine, right? But also, I would suggest that a lifetime ban, that you're not allowed to fly on either that service, either whether it's Ryanair or Aer Lingus. If you remember years ago, I'm not going to name the man, he's dead now, but he was a well-known entertainer, and Aer Lingus would just refuse point blank to fly him ever again because he's getting intoxicated and he's start fighting out in the plane. You know what I'm talking about. He's in the music business for a long time. Yeah,
is he dead now?
He's dead now, yeah.
Now, who is he? I'm trying to know now. Who was it? If he's dead, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Joe Dolan.
Was it? So,
he was bad. He was bad from Aer Lingus.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's years ago. No, but he was. They wouldn't let him fly anymore. Like, but so the point I make is, if you mess up in any way like that, there should be huge fights to be paid, and you should be blacklisted. And that if you show up in any boarding passes or anything, or you even try to book the flight online.
Well, I do agree.
It should flash up on the screen. No, sorry, the screen.
Well, I mean, look, there is no doubt if you're removed from a flight for unruly behaviour because of alcohol, you should be banned from the airline. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I would put it as a lifetime ban.
I'm assuming, Dave, you would agree with that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because, like, you're 30,000 feet in the air in a metal tube of people, you know. So, yeah, it's not the best place to have a freak out. So, if you do alcoholics, 100%, you should be banned for life.
And okay. Another thing now, there, as the girls, they came up to the conversation slightly about clapping when the plane lands, you know, right?
Oh, stop.
I don't see anything wrong with that because, look, the bus driver gets you from A to B. Like, yeah. This guy, you're up 30,000 feet up in the air.
I don't care.
And I am delighted that he has got me back down to the ground.
Ah, yeah, don't start clapping, John. It's only Egypt's clap.
No, seriously, look, I mean, it's just an acknowledgement. Number one, people are happy. People are happy.
What is that? Now, hold on. John, he's a pilot or she's a pilot. They're paid to do it. They're trained to do it. They know how to do it. It's not an achievement for them to land the plane. They're meant to land the plane.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no need to give them a round of applause.
You could say the same about the bus driver.
Will you give me a round of applause at the end of the show? No, you won't. That's just my job. I mean, silly, John.
Wait, I was on the bus today coming out from town, and every single person that got off that bus said thanks to the driver. So,
say thanks to the pilot. Normally comes out of his little cabin and stands there with the cabin crew saying goodbye to everybody as you're getting off. Say thanks to him if you want to, but don't be giving him a round of applause.
Jesus, man, he just got you from 30,000 feet.
You're like
down to
seals.
The
you're like a bunch of seals.
I think after that, man, getting your ass back down on terra firma, he deserves a round of applause.
Dave, do you give the... I don't know how many flights you've been on, Dave, but do you give the pilot a round of applause when he lands?
I die inside when people do that. Do you ever get second-hand embarrassment for somebody, like, do you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's like, we're here. Like, fuck up and let
Do you remember during COVID, every Thursday they were out clapping on the streets? What was that all about? Anyway, sorry.
That was different now. That was showing a bit of appreciation to the nurses.
But now, for the first, maybe for the first couple of months, it was a bit of appreciation. It got a bit monotonous after a while.
I put you on the spot now, right? You love to go to Florida, right? No, that's a long haul flight.
Oh,
right?
It is long. Nine hours,
That pilot gets you all the way across
to Florida. No, he doesn't.
In one piece, to start your holiday.
Now, the pilot doesn't get me all the way. The pilot takes off, and then it puts it into autopilot, sits there, and has his tea and his dinner.
We'll say all the passengers now, besides miserable Niall Boylan, right?
Yeah.
All get up and clap because they're starting their holiday. The pilot has
got
them
there,
and they're all clapping except one individual.
Yeah, they would. See, it's a class thing. I'm sorry, but there's a certain class of people that clap their hands.
No.
You know, normal people don't clap their hands.
That's all the working class mob, is it?
You working class.
I was with you there until that last statement. You're on your own now.
Let me go to Susan. Susan, hi, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Susan, do you clap your hands when the plane lands?
I'm just going to put you into my earphones. I'm just going to stop the car. Okay. You know.
Yeah, Susan.
How are you?
Okay, first question before we get into the alcohol. Do you clap your hands when the plane lands?
Absolutely no way. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, thank you, Susan.
I'm
going
to go with another thing.
She's right. It is embarrassing.
No, and when I walk off the plane, if the door is open, I'll say thank you to the pilot, if you can see them.
Yeah.
I'll say thank you very much, same as I get off a bus. And I think the guys who, the pilots are amazing. I love flying, by the way.
Yeah.
But
they don't need a round of applause. For doing their job.
No, they absolutely don't. And I never clap. And I get embarrassed and cringe when everybody else around me does it.
Right. Okay, so you're going away on holiday to Ibiza next week. Have a great time, by the way. You're going to Ibiza next week, but you're terrified of the whole idea of the flight.
Now I'm listening to you. I never was till I listened to this, and every comment is about the flight to Ibiza.
Oh yeah, well it always is, isn't it? Yeah.
And I'm going, oh my, I love flying. I love it. It's my second favourite thing in the world is flying.
Yeah.
Riding horses is the first. But,
don't forget to clap. Don't forget to clap.
But why, Susan, had you no idea that the flight to Ibiza was the worst flight for incidents?
No. I know it's a bit wild. I'm not going to the wild part. I'm going to what's...
Doesn't matter. You're still going to the same airport, so they all have to get there. Yeah.
I'm going on the airplane. So, yeah, I never thought about the whole flight to Ibiza and the wild. Because there's been a few experiences on plane. I went to Portugal and there was a stag on it and it was a bit wild.
Yeah.
But in fairness, it was Aer Lingus.
Well, probably won't be much worse than that. But generally speaking, it's probably okay. But the problem is that Michael O'Leary kind of points out that's one of the worst flights. And Glasgow and Edinburgh, he also said, were pretty bad too. For some reason, the Scottish like to drink, of course, as well, with the Irish, and they join forces.
Yeah.
But obviously, Ibiza is, on the holiday destination front, Ibiza is the worst. Because it's the age group, I suppose, and it's the type of people who are going, the party goers. So they're all off their bicky.
Yeah.
You know, they're either on drugs, or, you know, he talks about them being on powder and tablets. They're either on coke and drink and alcohol and a few tablets and whatever else they're on as well. Mm.
But there is supposed to be a side of Ibiza that is absolutely stunning and beautiful.
Ibiza is a lovely place. I'm not slagging off.
Not the wild party side of it. There's the other side of it, which is...
Yeah, don't be trying to justify your holiday, Susan. I'm sure it's beautiful, right? But the point is, you still have to get on the same plane to go to the same airport.
I do.
Yeah.
And now I'm going, oh my God, am I mad? But what? I'll get stuck into whatever's happening.
I'm sure you'll have a great...
I'm sure
you'll survive. Susan, should they ban alcohol on planes? Do you think they should ban it?
I don't think they should ban it, but I think there should be a limit on what you can consume on a plane.
Should they ban the clapping as well?
They should ban the clapping for sure.
They should definitely ban the clapping.
See, Dave, I told you, everyone's with me on the clapping thing.
No,
except for John.
Except for John.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for John.
Yeah, definitely ban the clapping.
Yeah,
say thank you as you leave the plane. I said to the air hostesses before, would you tell the pilot that was a really pleasant flight? Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of lower. It's lower tier stuff, Dave. You know, it's lower class. It's like people shouting, stop the plane, I want a wee, you know, these clowns.
Yeah, that's something I do with my child. But come here now, just while we're on the subject of just this, how do you feel about people saying thank you to the bus driver when you're getting off?
I don't know.
I always say thank you to the bus driver when I get off. Same way I say thank you to the pilot. Same way I say thank you to anybody that does something for me. I'll say thank you. I don't clap when I get off the bus.
Better question for me, Dave, is when was the last time I was on a bus?
No, but I'm just curious. How do you feel about it? You know,
I don't really have an opinion on it because I haven't been on a bus in about 25 years.
Well, I'm just saying. Niall's car breaks down and he has to get a bus. How would you feel about saying thanks to the bus driver? Is that lower tier for you as well?
No. That's probably fine. As you're getting off, just say nod your head, a bit of acknowledgement. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, but that's fine. I have no issue with that.
I was just saying thank you.
And by the way, sorry, Susan Ridlum. Dave, as I'm getting off the plane, if the cabin crew were standing there with the pilot saying thank you, I'm glad you enjoyed your flight or whatever, I would always say thanks very much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious if that was lower tier for you. You know, living in your leafy suburbs and drinking your tea with your pinky sticking out. You know, I was just curious.
No, that's not below me. Yeah, sorry, Susan.
It doesn't cost anything to have manners and say thank you very
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely, yeah.
That doesn't cost anything. So saying thank you is absolutely fine. But not clapping.
Not clapping like a bunch of seals in the plane. and by the way, the clapping is usually all started by one person. It only takes one. There's one gouger is somewhere along the plane and all you hear is... You hear the first clap and then everybody...
I go, go on, Johnner. Go on. You do it. Yeah.
It always is Johnner or Jacinta that starts it off. You know what I mean? It always is, Dave. You know what I mean?
Not for me.
The Ballyfermot crew, usually. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's because the people in first class are rich enough to pay someone to clap for them.
It's because us in first class, not that I've ever been in first class, it's because us in our first class, we expect the plane to land.
I'd say if you sat in first class, you'd immediately go and show us your ticket.
I've only ever been in first class, I think, twice in my life.
Never been in it?
Twice, yeah. And that was only because I happened to know somebody. I didn't pay for it. I couldn't afford it. I mean, there's a massive difference in the price in first class. If you're going to America and it's 800 quid for a flight, I think it's about 3,500 for first class.
Jeez.
And by the way, they don't call it first class anymore. It's not called first class. It hasn't been called first class in years.
Business class, is it?
Yeah, business class now. They took away that because it was considered to be, you know, classism.
Snobby.
Yeah.
Well, if you have the money, it might as well be snobby, though. If you have the money, like, you know.
Yeah, it was like us and them, the peasants down the back, you know. Stay there. Gladys, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, Gladys. Do you ever fly first class?
Yes, only because connection with airlines, that's all.
By the way, most people I know who've been first class are only doing it because they know someone in the airline.
So I
don't think anyone actually does pay for it. Somebody must.
But I have to say to you, I absolutely don't believe in banning anything. But I just have a question. I was lucky enough because of the airline business at the time in the 80s and 90s to fly an awful lot. With three kids all over the world, and I never ever saw anything.
Did you?
You could sit back, have a drink, have a cigarette, have a cigarette.
Stay with the days.
Yeah. Have the best chats with people. Never saw anything other than people being polite, mannerly, having their drinks. Nobody bothered, and they were free. And as Carl said, you know, or somebody said. At the time, certain airlines were free.
That's right.
And then you had airlines that I travelled on that had no alcohol. So they would be the Saudi Airlines who didn't serve alcohol.
Yeah. Aer Lingus used to be free for alcohol.
Yeah. So what has changed? What's changed?
Mm.
So more people becoming more aggressive, more drunk, you know. I don't know.
Michael O'Leary believes it's maybe a combination of alcohol and powder and tablets, as he says. In other words, drugs.
Yeah, I'm trying to think it's more than drinking.
Yeah, I don't know, but I've had very few bad incidents. I'm not going to lie, right? So, you know, maybe in all the years, I've probably had, I don't know, 100 flights, maybe, in my years. And only two incidents, maybe three incidents. But I mean, the last flight I went away on, there was a guy, as I mentioned earlier on, sitting beside us. He was on the outside near the aisle. And he was ossified. And they just kept serving him drink. Then he puked into the bag. Then he put his hood up over his head. Then he asked his wife to get more drink from him. Then he had a barney with his wife. She didn't want to speak to him. We ended up following them for the crack because we're into the, you know, I love people watching. As we got off the plane, we seen her walking about 100 yards in front of him. And she walked out of the airport without him. Got into a taxi. I said, that's the end of their holiday.
Nile incident where, you know, sort of thing, when I say, like, look, I have a sense of humour, but it was absolutely horrendous. It was a first flight out from Aer Lingus to London. And that was at, you know, you're talking 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever, you know, with three kids. And my youngest being a baby, literally a baby. So I sat down and there was a guy beside the window, you know, in the two-seater. The guy beside the window, he looked asleep. So I was giving my baby a bottle just because of the air pressure. He woke up. I can't believe this happened. And took the bottle out of my child's mouth and put it into his own.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
He was out of his trolley, right?
Yeah.
And I just the shock of it, the absolute shock. I didn't know what to do. You know, like she was only 3 weeks old.
That's horrendous.
And the air hostess, you know, boiled the top of the bottle like nearly to an inch of its life so I could give it back. But sure, he never noticed. He never woke up again. He never moved. I thought he was dead. But that was the worst, the only thing.
Yeah.
In the sense of somebody being off. Not right. But the one thing that stopped me and really made me, I would have to have alcohol to get up the steps, was hitting a sandstorm in the Middle East.
Right.
Where my son thought he was on a roller coaster. Everything fell. Everybody fell out of their seats. Oh, Jesus. Everybody's legs were shaking. It was horrendous. It was horrendous.
Yeah, you need alcohol after that.
Yeah. After that, I had to have alcohol, otherwise I couldn't get on. So okay.
So you don't agree with any kind of ban anyway, or restriction?
No, look, if they're too drunk, just don't let them on. Or, as I think your man Carl said, find them, seriously find them. But don't punish people that are just enjoying themselves and minding their own business and having a nice time.
No, I think Carl is right, actually. Carl made the best comment today. A serious fine of, say, 10 grand. If, for example, you cause a problem on a plane.
And he said, even if social welfare not working, you name it, not doing whatever, everything you get.
Yeah, you won't do it again.
To make a business. Yeah. And banned for life.
Yeah, and if other people see that in the newspaper that somebody's been fined 10 grand, they'll think twice about doing it themselves.
Exactly. Why everybody else, all the rest of us that are all decent and mind their own business and just want to enjoy ourselves, just let us off. You know?
Yeah, good call, Gladys. Stay there. Judith, hi. Hi, Judith.
Hi. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Judith. Okay, so...
I'm fine.
What do you reckon? Should we ban alcohol on planes?
Do you know what? Look, I'd love to pair it all. I'm going to have to go on replay because I was working there, so I'm just tuning in. But I do know what you're talking about and I've experienced this. I thought, gosh, I'm so sorry for that previous lady about the baby's bottle.
Dreadful,
You know, it's kind of funny too, but not for her.
No.
No, listen, I've just been thinking about it before your research around me back. There's absolutely no point in banning because, you know, people are just going to drink anyway. I travel a lot. I'm in Dublin Airport and Belfast Airport a lot. And I very rarely see anybody drunk in the airport.
Yeah.
On occasion you see them drunk. You're either going to ban the alcohol sale on the plane, but still sell it in the airport because there's no point in banning it. And fines are not going to stop people from getting drunk because mostly with our judicial system, those fines will not be put in place. But banning somebody from getting on the plane will definitely stop them drinking.
Yeah. So how do you decide?
Buy a Ryanair flight next year.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Judith, right? How are Ryanair, say, going to Ibiza, supposed to decide who has had too much drink in the airport? Because usually what happens is Johnny or Mary will have maybe 5 or 6 pints in the airport. They'll be okay getting onto the plane. And then the problem is, once you hit altitude, the effects of the alcohol are doubled. They'll have two more on the plane and all of a sudden they're hammered. So that's the problem.
Anyway, it's not just alcohol.
It's drugs too.
I have been on planes with much worse drugs being used than alcohol.
Oh, no, I agree. Yeah.
So you can also, you can do that, or you can just use the old-fashioned breathalyzer as they come up the steps.
Yeah, now, in saying that, somebody texted in earlier on about Michael O'Leary's comments about people, you know, snorting cocaine or whatever it is on a plane. It is less likely because people are less likely to risk bringing drugs through security in an airport. They're very unlikely.
It is less likely, yeah. But it is happening all the time.
Mm.
I've seen it.
Unless they take the drugs before they get through security. You know what I mean?
Does snorting cocaine hit you at altitude the same way as alcohol?
Well, couldn't tell you.
Neither could I.
Yeah, yeah. I'm assuming it does have some sort of effect anyway. But okay, so you think don't ban it in the airports, but maybe on the planes, yeah.
I think on the plane, but, you know, apart from that, banning anything has no effect. People will arrive drunk if they're going to. And there's also the people, you know, a friend of mine has just travelled off to Salou, terrified. Because she hates flying. And I suggested she had a few drinks and she goes, Jesus, I'll go mad then when I get on the plane. So, like, she's using some meditation tape that she'll listen to as she goes up the steps of the plane. I don't know if that's going to work or not.
Yeah, I know. You can get apps and all sorts of things. Listen, Gladys and Judith, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate you coming on and talking to us today. Lots of messages, by the way, coming in. Somebody said, what is the sense of flying if I can't drink in the airport? What, you have to have alcohol? Gavin says, sure, ban alcohol in pubs and clubs while we're at it. Now you're being stupid, Gavin. If somebody's pissed in a pub or a club, you can throw them out. Can't throw them out of a plane, 30,000 feet. Anna says, I don't think they should be banning drinking airports or planes. It appears to only be a real issue with Ryanair. Perhaps they should consider security on their flights. They can well afford it. I don't think it's an issue just on Ryanair, by the way. It's on all flights. It happens on all flights. Less on some. It depends on the destinations. It just so happens that Ryanair fly a lot to those destinations for a reasonable price. And somebody else says, I can't believe that Carl Dieter said Ryanair was a fabulous airline. He obviously is delusional. No, he's not. Ryanair is a fabulous airline. There is no doubt about it. Yes, there is no frills, but that's what you're getting. That's what you're paying for. They have changed the whole industry. They've made it affordable for people to travel, you know, to Spain and the Canaries and Britain and all across Europe at a reasonable price. Well, depending on when you decide to fly or what days you decide to fly on. Weekends can be just as expensive as Aer Lingus. But on other days, 30 or 40 quid or whatever it is, like getting on the bus. I couldn't go to Cork as cheap as I could go to a European city now with Ryanair. So you're talking through your hole. Pat Cronin says, I don't think you can ban it completely, but binge drinking before a flight is just looking for trouble. Dahl says, bet the 2-drink limit won't apply on a flight. Oh, won't apply on the flight. Yeah, but you're probably right. I don't know, because I think he makes too much money out of it. Mark says, presuming if they had 2 drinks in the airport, he will ban them from buying alcohol when they get on his planes. I presume so, by the way. But I don't think that's what he meant, see? I'm a bit dubious about Michael, to be honest with you. He's a great man for the publicity. He's a genius businessman. Absolutely genius. Those who have a go with him, by the way, you're delusional. You would love him to run your business because he has turned that organisation around into such a profit-making machine. It is unbelievable. And the man is a genius at getting publicity. Genuinely, he put out stories when I'm in the media because I get the press releases. I remember the stories going back years ago. Michael O'Leary says he's going to show pay-per-view porn on the seats of every plane. Michael O'Leary says he's removing the toilets from planes so he can fit 2 more seats in to make more money. I mean, these are real stories. They were never true, by the way. Michael O'Leary said he's going to remove the seats from planes and have everybody standing so he can fit more people on a plane. He did put out those stories. All those stories came out but just all publicity. He's a great man for publicity. Anyway. Thank you to Michael O'Leary. Thank you to everybody involved in the show today. Don't forget, please do support the show. Please, I can't emphasise it enough. As I said to you the other day, it is the end of the month. So please do support the show. Just before we go, by the way, I got one or two WhatsApps here as well that I meant to play.
Or 7. So I literally was in Dublin Airport, June, going to Manchester. Got there at 6 o'clock,
me and Kira had a breakfast, a healthy breakfast of just some toast, an egg, a cup of coffee and a cup of tea. I look across from me and there was a group of lads having scoops of Guinness at 6 a.m. Like, you can wait till you land, you can wait till you get to your destination to get absolutely locked. There's no need.
Niall, regards to people clapping at the end of the flight, there is a lot of people there will not relax, will not take a proper breath until that plane lands. And when that plane lands, they feel they're now safe and they're now able to breathe properly. That's probably why they clap. And I understand what you're saying. I get it. They're trying to do it. I get it. But when you're 50,000 feet up in the air and you have two engines holding you up there, the only way is down. And how they get down, people are hoping the safe way, because it's a long way down, you know, if something fails. So when they get down and when they land, they feel to clap because now they can breathe properly and they don't have that anxiety attacks or whatever. I don't know. That's just what I believe. Cheers, pal.
Well, Neil, I don't know. I still don't agree with the clapping. Please, everybody, I urge you, I implore you, if you're on a flight and it lands, don't clap. The pilot doesn't need your round of applause. It's just embarrassing. That's all it is, because most people think it's cringy. So please don't do it. Now, support the podcast. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. It is the end of the month, as I said. What date is the 28th? We've only got two more days to pay our bills at the end of the month, or lighter, uploading costs, everything else. We never have enough. We always end up having to pay for some of it ourselves. So please do help us. Go to our website, nileboylan.com. You can donate there, or indeed, you can subscribe to the website. We would love you to subscribe for a monthly payment. It's the price of a cup of coffee that we could share between three of us. That's all it is. Price of one cup of coffee from Starbucks once a month. And that helps us to pay the bills every single day. If you can't do that, a one-off donation, €5, €5 million, whatever you can afford. You can do that now on the website, nileboylan.com. Please do it and please support us and please help us. Today was a bit of fun, of course, but other days, of course, we do very serious topics like hate speech we were talking about the other day. And we talk about the government and challenge the government all the time. So we are here for you to have an uncensored view on what's going on in our country. So please support us, nileboylan.com. I'll be back again tomorrow at the usual time. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.